Welcome, everybody, to the Contech Trio podcast, powered by JB Knowledge, makers of Smart Bid, Smart Insight, Smart Compliance, and Smart Reality. I'm your host, James Benham. I'm joined by the construction app guru, Rob McKinney, and resident BIM expert, Josh Bone. The Contech Trio podcast is dedicated to reviewing new apps, hardware, and enterprise software for the construction industry that can improve workflows and transform companies. Today is Friday, August 19th, and this week's show topic, AI for photos and videos with Josh Kanner from SmartVid.io. Back in a second. Well, happy Friday, everybody. How are we doing? Josh?
Doing great. Doing good. Another BIM week.
We're just happy to hear that. Super excited. Listeners are excited as well. Rob, how's it going?
It's doing good, sir. I'll tell you, I've been taking some interesting photos of construction workers in North Georgia, and I think they're a little curious what I was doing, but I'll tell you, the platform we'll talk about today was very interesting to see how it all worked.
Yeah, maybe they were worried that somebody was watching them.
When you're in an airlift without a harness or glasses pressure washing a building, you should be who's watching you and taking videos over the fence.
I would say North Georgia should use a drone, but the chance of getting it back, there may be a chance that it goes down.
Somebody gonna shoot a shotgun. We also have a guest here in the brand new JBK Studios here at headquarters. We got Graham Leslie. Graham, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Happy to be here with you guys.
Yeah, man. So new studio. We got enough room for four people here in our new audio setup that we used actually at the AGC IT forum. Graham Leslie, the R&D team lead here. Had a fun day demoing a lot of technology, VR, AR, drones, and mobile apps, and all kinds of other fun stuff, right?
Yeah, we sure did. We've got our new VR lab set up downstairs, and it's been awesome.
It's sweet, isn't it?
Room scale VR.
Yeah.
As big as we can get it. It's been phenomenal.
We literally went to the max limit of the sensor array that that Vive and Oculus supported.
We don't have any fun at JBK.
No fun at all.
Graham, so, I have to ask you, how's that mood lighting treating you?
Oh, you know, it's real good.
Yeah.
Some
down.
Moody VR experiences.
I got the AC turned down. I got the lamps turned up. It's all good here. So we're having a good time, and it really has been a very busy week, hasn't it, Graham, on the tech
front? Oh, absolutely. We've got so many projects, so many experiments. It's been crazy, but, man, it's been fun.
And the industry, too. I mean, we saw a lot of big announcements this week. I mean, it was really kind of crazy to see, especially Intel and Microsoft this week were really active, and so it was a busy week. First, remember, we now have a Contech Trio Twitter account. About darn time. We got a Twitter account, folks. So it's at Contech Trio. Please follow us there, and you'll be able to answer all our polls and interact with us, ask questions, lobby insults, whatever really floats your boat. It'll be fun. That's at Contech Trio. Poll question for last week's episode. Is your company using a 3D scanning tool? Resulted in 53% said yes and 47% said no. So there's definitely some room for improvement there. We just finished a 3D scanning report a few months ago that, Graham, you did a lot of research on.
Yeah, we did. We had a whole bunch of laser scanners here at the office, took a ton of scans, another very boring project. You know, for that percentage of folks that aren't embracing laser scanning yet, you know, we're seeing an influx of really affordable scanners on the market. That barrier to entry is really lowering. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a great time to pick a project, make a small investment, and see what scanning can do for you.
Yeah, and we've got an interesting project coming in that regard that we'll be putting some information out on later. But I'm really excited about the future of scanning. And for those of you who are in the 47% that said you're not using it, now is the time to test this out. It is. It beats the heck out of manually dimensioning spaces, and really cost has come way down. Ease of use has gone way up, and it's a really viable solution now for as-built documentation and much more. So we've launched a new tool, a poll on the Contech Trio Twitter page. That's at Contech Trio now. That's related to today's episode theme, cloud-based photo and video storage platforms. The question is it easy for you to find old project photos when you need them? Head on over and simply answer yes or no. and that's at twitter.com/ConTech Trio. Again, please follow us with JB Knowledge at twitter.com/JB Knowledge. So on into some more news, and Graham and I were just talking about this. It was a really busy week with Intel and Microsoft, and Graham, actually, you brought me this one. You know, Intel doubles down on Project Alloy as a savior of the PC. I mean, pretty exciting stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is, we're really starting to see, I mean, we've seen it proven time and time again, but it's so concrete now that VR and AR is not just a fad. It's not just another part of the beginning of the hype cycle, right? The big companies are really starting to embrace it. Microsoft is really putting down some effort to making this a core part of Windows.
Yeah, and so this headset's pretty fascinating because it's really hybrid reality, right? So you can scan in and bring actual video of your hands and arms in. And we actually showed a video of this at the IT forum, hybrid immersive reality, that a professor in the UK did, where it's scanning your hands, it's scanning your arms, it's bringing them into VR so you can see your hands or a person in front of you. It can actually scan a person that's looking at you. And so now when you're wearing a VR headset, people can't just stand in front of you and pretend to punch you or make a face at you because you can actually see them scanned into VR. So it's a hybrid reality. It's like taking the best of AR and VR into one platform that's fully immersive, but your friends are in there with you, so it makes VR more social. But it also allows you to really have a lot more interactivity. You can use your hands to control the VR environment. So really, PC World, and that's the article that we'll include and did include online on this, but great video to watch. And Graham, I know you can't wait to get your hands on one of these.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be putting in the purchase order soon.
Yeah, and it'll be approved. So yeah, really excited about that. Our good friend Marla McIntyre over at CE Construction Executive Tech did the technology and software rundown. So just thought I'd run through that. Drones Made Easy. We've talked about these guys. They put some new drones made easy on the map. So there's some really cool stuff coming. You have Maps Made Easy. You have you've got some really cool stuff coming with the DJI system. So just check out this article that she wrote on this. There are so many apps now that will take photo and video and produce 2D and 3D images. It's really been, in the last 12 months, we've seen a huge uptick in these. We talked about the DJI Commander app. We've talked about Drone Deploy. We've talked about Pix4D. They just keep coming. Maps Made Easy is another one we talked about. So there's a lot of solutions. SkySight, our good friend James Mercado over there, just saw him in Chicago. They released auto hyperlinking search and viewing capabilities inside of SkySight, so definitely check that out. Graphisoft BIMX offers full BIM data access everywhere, and so that means BIM presentation and communication app now provides free access to the full set of project info, including 2D docs, 3D models, and non-geometric data. In this BIMX Pro provides on-demand measurement, 2D layouts, really cool stuff from Graphisoft. Josh, I mean, I know you got to be excited about this.
Yeah, I get a lot of fanfare over BIMX when I show it in talks and show it at trade shows. James is one that was just blown away. Mercado loved it. Remember, he was in shock when he saw BIMX. So it's a great tool.
Awesome. And Ricoh's color-wide format solution for the AEC industry, that was also in the tech rundown. Really, really neat stuff on wide format color. Corecon Technologies, construction software suite was in this. Equipmentwatch.com, so they're talking about heavy equipment online software. They also had a release from WorkMax Time in the cloud, automates timesheets. So this is another timesheet solution. So that's WorkMax Time. Had another major software release. So the really pretty good week. The smart tape measure is what I wanted to talk about, and this is actually from Bagel Labs. Bagel smart tape measure measures just about anything with a click of a button. Users can save, record, and share size data via Bagel's mobile app. So it's a tape measure that connects to your mobile phone, kind of like my Milwaukee One Key that I got right here in my hand. So I'm really excited about that as well. Rob, what do you think about smart tape measures?
Very interesting to try out. Would want to see how that works.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to get my hands on this and check it out. So thanks, as always, to Marla McIntyre over at Construction Executive for the technology rundown. Also in the news, we had, a big news week. Construction, this is a really good article on equipmentworld.com. Construction's digital divide, it's culture, not age, that makes contractors tech hesitant. And guys, the article, and I'm not going to read the whole article, but they said the cause of tech adoption, lack of tech adoption, is usually ascribed to a so-called digital divide. The young kids get it. They were raised on laptops and smartphones. The old guys don't get it. And the author goes on to argue that the digital divide is not a matter of age, but of culture. And then he gives a lot of good examples. Please read this article. It'll be in the Contact Trio Twitter feed, my Twitter feed at James M. Benham. Check this out. The reason I suggest this, I've long thought that we are so quick to blame age by default and just say, look, it's all about age. It's all about age. And I think that's a really ridiculous argument. I don't think it's all about age. I think that in this case, I know 22-year-olds that are tech resistant. I know 72-year-olds that are tech resistant. I know 72-year-olds that are very proactive on tech, and 22-year-olds that are proactive on tech. I think it's culture and attitude. I agree with the author, but I thought that they laid out a very good case for why it's more about culture than about age. This was by Tom Jackson August 15th and against equipmentworld.com. It'll be in our feed, so please check that out. Also in the news, seven memorable moments from the AGC IT Forum. This is from our good friends over at Built Worlds, and yours truly, the Contact Trio, and the opening photo there, and Rob McNamee, thank you for covering the really good points and moments in the IT forum. I really I love the quote that he said, overheard at AGCIT, quote, 5 years ago, contractors were afraid of mobile, said one vendor. Now it's gimme, gimme, gimme. And that has definitely been the case. Rob, I mean, you got to be seeing that.
Absolutely. I heard several of those comments myself while we were there. It's amazing how big of a change we've actually seen. And going back to what you were saying before, there is adoption from the 20s to the 70s. It is just probably a cultural issue about how the company is embracing the technology and promoting it to their employees.
Yeah, and we've got to really address that, right? It's we've got to deal with the cultural issue, not the age issue, and not just assume that because someone's older, they're not as likely to use technology. So a great article again, and then I really appreciate Rob McNamee's coverage of the IT Forum. Also in the news, Elon Musk, our good friend, the CEO of Tesla. I think we had him on the show recently, right? No.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool. SolarCity, which, of course, if you've been reading the news, he's trying to have one of his companies buy the other company. So he wants Tesla to buy SolarCity. We'll be offering entire solar roofs by the end of 2016. What do you think of that, Josh?
I am so ready to just set it up, plug in battery, solar roofs, whatever it is. I'm ready to go. Not off the grid. That I'm crazy. It's just I'd rather be self sustainable and have what I need right here. My house is set up for it. South facing roof, ready to go.
Yep, awesome. So Elon Musk will be venturing into the roofing industry, offering a roofing integrated product by the end of 2016, end of this year. Again, this was in futurism.com. Please go and check this out. This is the entire roof. Interesting
James,
stuff.
James, is that his 217th LLC now, or is that incorporated? Right? My gosh, how many?
Well, he's trying to consolidate him, right? So he's trying to roll SolarCity into Tesla and roll up there. So that's. I think he's trying to consolidate the number of companies he has to administrate. Wow. So I think the bigger vision, and who knows what his secret vision is for all of this. I think to me it makes sense to pair electric generation from the roof with electric storage that Tesla's proposed in home with charging and automotive electric automobiles. So you could generate your electricity, run your house, store in the Tesla battery system for a home that would then power the house overnight when there's no sun, and then the whole system charges your car. Ideally, that's the whole life cycle, right? So you charge with the sun.
That would be so cool.
That's a truly
people that are scared of that. That's awesome.
I think it's awesome. I'm glad that he is willing to. I'm glad that he's willing to take a risk. To be honest with you, because there's a lot of guys who aren't willing to because they just assume it's not possible. And I think he starts out assuming it's possible. Okay, on the humorous side of things, Construction Junkie, man, these guys. These guys do some great stuff. soccer played with construction equipment in cars is really fun to watch, and I agree. This is hilarious. So the links, again, at our Twitter feed, our show notes on my feed. This is construction soccer played with construction equipment, cars, and drugs, and it is epic. So please go check this out. It was the annual Fast Tracks Auto Soccer Game, combined soccer with demolition derby and heavy construction equipment to create a bizarre and innovative event that adrenaline seekers will love. Rob, the
safety nightmare. This started in the streets of New York, moving cars parked in the wrong spot, and it's now taken to the sports field.
Yeah, but
you know they've got those super operators on that, guys, and you know they are working that machine and just wowing. There's probably a whole league that could be built around that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, both of you, the Georgia redneck in you's got to be coming out with this, though, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, just insane, man. This is awesome. In BIM news, this is from Architosh.com. Nemechek acquires U.S.-based design data for structural steel design software. So Nemechek holds a bunch of different companies, and this is another acquisition that they made. Josh, any comments on this?
Yeah, it's better known as DDS CAD, so yep. Pretty heavy in the structural industry. It's a lot of people are familiar with DDS, so when you call it DDS, a lot of people will recognize that in the CAD and BIM world.
Awesome. So pretty significant acquisition, and they'll probably be stitching it into some of their other holdings. From newscientist.com, stitching a drone's view of the world into 3D maps as it flies, so real-time map stitching. Really neat article that you should check it out. This is about a system called Hydra Fusion. It's developed by researchers at Lockheed Martin, Canada. Will make drones better at aerial surveillance. So Hydra Fusion is based on a form of image mapping, photogrammetry, which we've talked about many, many times. And the bottleneck was processing power, and so they worked on 3D modeling for photographs. The challenge is met by GPUs, which are graphic processing units. And so they're talking about real-time processing into photogrammetry, not delayed processing using onboard GPUs. This is really interesting. Hydra Fusion, with a drone flying at 30 knots, can create a map as they go with a resolution of 30 centimeters per pixel, clearly showing trees and buildings. Higher resolutions, 2.5 centimeters per pixel, can be generated at slower speeds and lower altitudes. That's incredible. I mean, just incredible stuff. Rob, you got to think that's going to be big.
Absolutely. As-built conditions, slab pours. One of the first things I really started working on with mobile devices and photos was trying to figure out, you know, how do you document a slab before you pour it? Well, that'd be a pretty good way right now.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about drones and photogrammetry, but a lot of the systems we talk about, they require that you take the photos, it runs the route, and then you upload those to the cloud. They get processed and sent back to you. We're talking in this article about real-time localization, mapping, and photogrammetry. So this is a major, major leap forward. Keep an eye on it. That's all the news that I've got for today. I'd love to turn it over to you, Josh. What you got?
So we'll start off. We talked about the laser scanning report that Graham did. Well, I just released our third report with MCAA. So today MCAA has made it available for the third installment of their construction technology research series. And we're talking about BIM in the field. Guys, I reviewed 24, count it, 24 field solutions.
Unreal.
And, it was a great learning experience for me. And we interviewed a lot of people using the technology. We interviewed the software vendors. We went back and forth. And people are asking now about Fuser, and they're talking about Revisto. For those that listen to the show have heard us talk about Revisto, but Fuser's an up-and-coming solution that's real cool. We talked about Glue and Field and Bluebeam and how it integrates now with IFC and 3D PDFs, how you can incorporate good stuff. Everybody can go over and check it out in the show notes. And my next topic here is, James, you're the Chevy guy. I'm the Ford guy. We're in the race. So Ford, with a Chinese company, Baidu, has invested $75 million into a Velodyne LiDAR. So this LiDAR stuff, they've got a puck.
Jeez, I wonder why.
Well, you know, I've got a 6-year-old and I am pushing hard to have autonomous driving in 10 years. I really don't
brother,
think he's gonna
you and me both
thing off by himself.
I got a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. And I keep telling my wife, I don't think my 9-year-old will drive. And she thinks I'm being overly optimistic, which I get accused of a lot. And I can live with that. I think that there's a good chance my 9-year-old won't drive, and I think it's almost certain my 6-year-old won't.
Wow. You know, and I hope that's the case. Personally, I really hope that's the case. But you think about this technology for the autonomous vehicles and how we can use it in construction. But I'm excited to see where this stuff goes with LiDAR and this 22 million points, this little puck of a thing that you could put on the top of someone's hard hat. It's small, guys. Just doing some research on this. We'll see. We'll see how Ford does. But
I mean, doesn't this? It's neat seeing the collaboration though between the automotive industry. We talked about the GM NASA smart glove that we think will be used out in construction, right? And and now we're talking about Ford's, and of course Ford has started referring to themselves as a mobility company, not a car company anymore. And that's because most people will probably lease vehicles rather than own them. So a lot of
that's
changes
what
on that front.
About here. Yep. Yeah, this is going to be the, they're talking initially even the Uber service that's driverless. So they took it away from the cabbies, now they Uber, and now autonomous. So that's a quickly changing. And the cool, and one of the things I was surprised here too, Ford has a Palo Alto Research Center in Silicon Valley. So more and more out there too. So it's all over the place. Now, guys, this next one is something I'm really excited about. They have printed this. They have a Delta style printer. James, you can explain better. I looked into what a Delta printer style is. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So a Delta style printer has it's almost like a pulley system, if I can describe it accurately. And you've got a print head that's in the middle, and you've got three towers that suspend the print head over the print area. And so then it's a lot like the camera system at the NFL or college football, where you have wires suspending the camera in the middle. In this case, you have wires suspending the print head, and then you have your concrete pump or your material pump that runs down to the print head, and then it can move all three axes, right? X, Y, and Z by changing the tension and moving the pulleys on the three cables suspending the print head. So that's what they're talking about.
So James, I did not prep everyone listening in. I did not prep him for that. I just off the top of the cuff, I read about it and exactly as you said. So James, you know your 3D printers. So
I love them. They're great. I want a Delta style 3D printer.
Well,
I just haven't built one yet.
40 feet tall and it prints mud. But the cool thing about this is nearly zero cost homes. And they've done this now. The cost to print this thing and it was 48 euros. So you think about around the world, the opportunity to have safe and affordable housing. And there's some pretty cool things behind this and some of the metrics that they're talking about, as well as the video that goes along with it. Cool stuff.
But where would I use my power tool?
Well, you print it all, and then you can come back and drill a hole to get in for I don't see any windows in here.
But, I don't either.
You have to work that out. So you can use your power tools for that.
All right. Just don't take them away from me.
No. You got to have those. So you still have to hang pictures in your mud house. You know, so it's,
yeah, you
looks
do.
Pretty, looks like it's pretty, pretty tough stuff, so I think you probably could drill it. Now, next in the news, guys, we're talking about photos. Rob, I know you've used this service. You've heard about MultiVista, right?
Absolutely.
They were acquired by a company by the name of Hexagon. Now, I saw something about Hexagon last month, and it didn't really register. But last month, Hexagon, which is a leading global provider of information technologies that drives productivity and quality across geospatial and industrial enterprise applications, last month bought this product called Nestix, and it's a major steel service center for shipyards, offshore yards, pipe fabricators, mechanical engineering. So this Hexagon company is they're up to something. We'll see. The MultiVista service, we've heard about it. It's someone physically coming in and taking pictures and tagging it and associating it to plans. A little costly, but we'll see where they're going with this. Any ideas, Rob?
You know, about a year or maybe a year and a half ago, they released their mobile app that actually lets you take pictures and put it into their system. So they're almost starting with a, they're starting to offer a hybrid approach.
Yeah, like self-service. Yeah, it's like self-service MultiVista, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you could still have the professional come out and do the path and set up what they do, but if you need to augment or add to it, they're now giving that capability. But with this acquisition, going to have to make some phone calls.
We'll see. So, guys, here's the last question out of my news. What percentage of your state's economy is based on construction's contribution? So what is construction contributing to the economy in Texas, James? What would you guess?
30%?
No, that's crazy. It's 5%, which still really surprised me overall.
I was just a stab in the dark. The only reason I say that is because oil and gas is such a heavy part of our sector, and I don't know if they're including oil and gas construction. So I took a stab on that one.
Now, it was non-residential and residential commercial. So it's not the the oil and gas. That's a different industry. So I read a little bit into that. But for us in Georgia, Rob, want to take a guess?
Probably around the same.
It's 4%. Industry across the country, it averages right at 3.9%. So, yeah, guys, you think about that. That's a big number when you think about it.
It's a giant number when you're considering healthcare, retail, oil. Obviously, they're separating oil and gas out separately. That's a big number.
Huge. So, I thought that was a, as Rob would say, an interesting nugget.
Like those nuggets.
There you go. I'll let you give a few.
Go ahead, Rob.
First nugget for the week. James, I know you're going to love this one. Microsoft will bring holographic mixed reality to every Windows 10 PC in 2017. I think this kind of piggybacks off of what Grant was talking about earlier. How do you think they're going to actually pull that off, though? They're going to have to ship a headset with
I didn't get enough time to research this because it came out and I've been really busy with reading a lot of this other stuff. And so the way I view it, Microsoft is including a lot of different functionality out of the box in Windows 10. So they're including multi-touch, right? Up to 100 simultaneous points of touch with the Surface Hub. They're including the ability to drive tablets like Lenovo, drive tablets like the Surface Pro 4, Surface Book. And holographic projection will be something else that will be baked into this base operating system so that guys like Intel can release their own hardware and then run Windows 10 on their hardware. So Microsoft wants their operating system to be the holographic operating system. And the only way to do that is to bake it into Windows 10. And in the really important news a few weeks ago, they announced, I think it was 2 weeks ago, they announced that the enterprise software controls will be part of that suite. So your group policy management and your security Active Directory is all baked in as well.
Very interesting. We'll be standing by to see how that plays out for next year. Now, second thing I got for this week, we've all got smartphones. Some of us have more smartphones than others, but would you be bold enough to put your smartphone in a cement mixer and test and see if it's going to work and come out through the wash?
Nada.
Depends on which depends on which one you're talking about.
I live on my phone.
Well, there's a BBC news piece that I'll put in the show notes. You got to see what they do. They're dropping phones in water, and then they've got a cement mixer, throw a bunch of earth soil in there, and throw them in. I won't spoil it for you. You got to see who makes it through the concrete cement mixer. It's definitely entertaining to start look at which of the quote hardcore smartphones that are out there really can take a licking. Going through a cement mixer would be pretty brutal. Yeah, you got to watch the video and see it for yourself.
Can I take a guess?
Go.
Rhymes with Matapillar.
Well, it's pretty close to one that made it through that can still ring and take a call. Okay. The other one, I'll be honest, I can't pronounce, but some of your well-known popular ones, not so good.
There you go.
Yep. All right, the next one. We've talked about a little bit of future stuff already. This is definitely an interesting thing to contemplate. Dubai's DP World to study Hyperloop container transport. Could you guys think about a shipyard dock that when the containers come off, instead of going on the back of trucks, they stick them in the hypertube and they end up hundreds of miles away instantaneously within not much time. James, what do you think about that one?
Kid, can I ride first?
Yeah, I kind of
put me in the tube.
Yeah, transporting containers is important, but
that's
riding
a great idea.
Who wants to be the QC guy to do the first ride?
I don't know, man, but it sounds like fun.
Could be fun. Definitely an interesting way to start thinking about moving mass containers of goods. So check out that news piece that we have this week. And then wrapping up, I had to put this in here because the ConApp Diva brought this to my attention. McDonald's offers activity tracking. It's a tracker for the small ones. It comes in your Happy Meal. Now, the kicker is attached to the 500-plus calorie Happy Meal. So I'm gonna let the ConApp Diva try this one out and see how it really works. I've got to get my hands on one of these for.
But more importantly, did you hear what's actually happening to the fitness tracker wearers?
Unfortunately, I don't think they had good QC on this one.
So you'll have to test it out a little later. According to CNN, Microsoft removes fitness trackers from Happy Meals because it caused skin irritation and rashes on the kids that were wearing them. That's not funny. That's not funny at all. But oh man, I mean, you know, they're trying to help kids and they end up giving them rashes. That's not good.
Not good. That's it for the week, sir.
Man, it was a busy news week, guys. I certainly, as always, really appreciate all the hard work that goes into researching and finding all these articles for our listeners. Again, you can see links to all these articles at twitter.com/ConTech Trio. And we're live today with Josh Kanner, founder and CEO of SmartVid.io. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Doing awesome. Great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have you. Thanks for joining us. There's so much we can talk about. Your product and has really touched on a lot of different things that I'm passionate about, and so I'm excited to have you here. But you know, we're just as much about the people behind construction and technology as we are about the technology itself. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about you. Where were you? This is kind of a different question to ask because you really weren't born and raised in any one place when you're in the Air Force, right? Your dad was in the Air Force?
Yeah. It's a funny story. You know, my dad was in the Air Force, so we grew up outside of Madrid. And I learned Spanish as a kid. And then when we came back to the U.S., I refused to speak Spanish because my mom tells me I came home from school one day and I was really sad because I didn't know how to say the English word for cowboys. And the kids were playing cowboys and Indians. And so I refused from that point to ever speak Spanish again, which is a bummer because there's plenty of Spanish around.
Absolutely, there is. It helps you get around about half the world, and
it's
so
true.
Yeah.
It's but true. But truth be told, I did pick it up. I felt badly enough in high school that I took Spanish in high school, and then, you know, so I'm passable at it. It shows you how stubborn kids can be, I guess.
Just to reassure you, it is deep, locked in the recesses of your brain somewhere, and just needs to be let out. So it's all good.
Yeah. I've found with some red wine or a beer or two.
Exactly.
I think I'm speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it actually is or not.
At least you feel good about it, right?
I do. I feel very confident.
Yeah. So tell me, you went to high school in the States, went to college?
Yep.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
I went to college at Brown University down in Providence, Rhode Island. I was a biology and chemistry major focused on, think of it as innovative technologies. I've always been interested in how technology can help people do their jobs better, faster, and in you know, cool ways.
Brown, that's a community college in
Rhode Island,
right?
It is. I commuted in.
Man, what a great school, man. That's an incredible experience.
It was great. It's one of the things about the school too. It's like you get to basically choose to build out your own concentration. Like there's no core curriculum. So at a really young age it seems young. I felt old at the time, but really young age, you got to figure out what you want to do and how you want to get there. And I think it makes you more entrepreneurial too. So
absolutely.
you got to put a lot on yourself.
Awesome. And then where from there?
So from there, I worked as a consultant for a while, helping companies adopt innovative technologies, and then wound up going to business school up here in Cambridge, Mass. At MIT, and got bitten by the software bug. Frankly, because after working as a consultant for a while, and maybe you can relate to this, it's like, you know, you make a lot of recommendations, but you don't get to do a lot of stuff a lot of the time. So I saw with software, they were taking problems that people had and solving them with technology and actually creating real products and solutions that people could use. And I just got bitten by the bug and started working at a startup even before I graduated from school, and have been doing enterprise software ever since, you know, really 2000, since 2000.
And that was an interesting time. That's right around when I graduated. I finished Texas A&M in 01, grad school in 02.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting time to be coming out of college, getting a job. The dot-com bubble had really just exploded in grand fashion, and the whole world changed. 9/11 happened. I mean, it was a very dynamic time.
Yeah, I remember it clearly, you know, and it was a tough time to be in tech. Thankfully, the CEO of the company that I was at had been able to secure a pretty large funding round right before the bubble burst, and it really took us through those lean years. I mean, we did well as a company. We started out just 10 people and one customer that I think secretly was just a friend of the CEO. And you know, 5 years later, we were 250 people and 100 customers building out web-based software that let companies buy their goods and services online in competitive reverse price auctions. And that was, but that, you know, getting on that ramp was not easy in those times, for sure.
Reverse auctions. That's also interesting marker of that time period of time.
Totally. Yeah, they were rolling that stuff out big time, and
that was before the vendor revolt against them.
Yeah, and so yeah, that was one of our claims to fame. Our platform let you do the online reverse auctions, or do actually, you know, closed bid, sealed bid RFPs, and then we did some crazy stuff letting you optimize the pricing you got from vendors. But what that experience showed me is, you know, how important it is to really stay in touch with customers as you're growing your product, and wound up leaving there. And in 2005, with a co-founder who knew the construction industry really well after being in it for 10 years as a owner's rep, we started a company called Vela Systems. And the whole point of Vela was to go into the AEC industry and try and bring a mobile solution. And it sounds kind of no duh obvious now, but in 2005, we were trying to help field guys be able to have their construction documents in the field and do quality management as well as safety inspections and others.
Josh,
other
this, kind of stuff. 2005, I mean, we still had Palm Pilots in the field.
Man, we thought tablet PCs were just awesome. I don't know if you remember those things, but...
I owned them, yeah, you know, absolutely. I had a couple of different PCs, one where the screen would turn around, rotate, and fold flat. I think it was super lightweight. We had like 5 pounds or something. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, it ran, I think, Windows XP, and you had to use a special stylus, and we thought that was it. We thought that was the ultimate solution.
Yeah, we were really kind of a slave to that platform because that was all that was out there. From 2005 to 2009, when the iPad got introduced. And yeah, as you were saying, it was, you know, on a good day, it was 5 pounds. And on an even better day, the battery lasted more than 2 hours. So, you know, you had, I'll never forget being in the field. And in early days, I would go out and do a demo on a Tuesday, and I'd be the guy training them on Thursday, you know, so be out there in the field. And,
yeah.
You know, guys would be sweating and, you know, carrying the thing around, and it was, but it was still added enough value.
That was Steve Jobs raining his thunder down, by the way, because I tell you what, that was a lightning strike moment in technology when the iPad hit. The naysayers were like, oh, it's just a big iPhone. I'm like, no. This is what Jean-Luc Picard had on the Starship Enterprise. This is a big deal. It was a major thing.
It really revolutionized the industry. And, you know, we had a bunch of customers in the field with lots of tablet PCs, and I'll tell you, there's still some of them who are mad at us for making the switch, you know, because it was a pretty big change for the software and for the hardware that folks had to you know, put in use in the field. But ultimately, it was the right decision. You know, to go from 2 hours of battery life to 10 hours, from 5 pounds of weight to less than a pound and a half, and the easy use of the touchscreen. I mean, it's just you just can't compare the two.
Yeah, no, so, it's not even available for comparison.
Totally. But now it's interesting. So I'm just coming back from the Bluebeam conference, Bluebeam Extreme out in San Diego, and it's really amazing. Microsoft.
Yeah, they're excited. Sorry, they're excited about Bluebeam. Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes. So it was a great conference, and the Microsoft Surface and Surface Pro. I mean, those machines are now. I think they're folks in the industry are saying they've leapfrogged the iPad. So, you know, you can't count Microsoft out. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, we just got done. We had a pretty large subcontractor here today at headquarters, and we were running through a full AR and VR demo, and we've set up a full AR VR experience here. So we have a VR cave with the Vive and the Oculus Rift, and then we have multiple HoloLens. And when I put the HoloLens on the first time, I went, holy hell, I mean, Microsoft has done it again. And then I bought my new Windows phone, because I have all the major platforms. And I got to tell you, I love my Windows phone. I love my Note as well, and I love my iPhone. They are not to be toyed with, you know. The Surface Pro 4, the Surface Book. I mean, these are serious pieces of hardware with really good operating systems. So it's exciting to see that come out. It certainly makes software guys' job a lot easier. I don't know about you, but in the mid-2000s, you know, we were trying to build mobile software. We had to work with symbol scanners, and it was just such a nightmare. And there is about 90% of the nightmare we had to deal with in the mid-2000s is a non-event now.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing as things are being moved to more and more of a services and, you know, standard API kind of architecture, just making it a lot more straightforward. It's great.
Yeah, it's also abstracting the coder away from the machine language, but that's a much nerdier topic for a nerdier time.
Fair enough.
But Vela, I mean, you had a big exit, sold the Autodesk, right?
Yeah, so we were acquired in 2012. At that point, we were on, you know, thousands of projects all over the world. We had about 50% of the ENR top 100 contractors using us. And it just made a lot of sense. You know, we were doing a bunch of stuff with BIM, where you could integrate models with field data. Field guys could be doing commissioning, they could be doing quality management exercises, material tracking, and have it all be tied back to BIM seamlessly. And so the partnership made a ton of sense. What's happened now with the SmartVid.io is back talking and working with old Vela Systems customer base at the CIO level and also in the field about the challenges that they are seeing and also the opportunities with just the huge amount of photo and video data that's being generated now, not just from, you know, the mobile devices that are in everybody's pocket, but from things like drones. Some people are experimenting with wearables. And, you know, even stuff like laser scanners and you know, other cameras that are throwing off new kinds of photo and video feeds. So it's an exciting time still to be in the industry. You know, it's tablet PCs, then iPads. Now, I mean, look at all the hardware that's hitting the job site. You guys know better than anybody. I would say it's a rate of new technology introduction from a hardware and software side that I don't know if AEC has seen in the last 10 years. I don't know what you guys would say about that, but it just feels like there's a lot happening right now.
You know, there's a lot. Josh, I know you tracked this a lot.
We talk about it every week.
Yeah.
How much is coming out week to week. You know, I had an opportunity to listen to your talk at Bluebeam Extreme, and you know, I just wanted to ask you, what do you think was the high points of your talk? What came out of that, and what were people asking you about coming off the stage?
Yeah, great question, Rob. So the talk was titled Smarter PDFs, Linking Photos and Videos to Bluebeam for Handover and Operations. And, you know, it's one of the use cases that has, you know, really come to the top for the use of our technology, which is a way of organizing, collaborating on, and then analyzing the photos and video that are coming in from all these different sources. So we have in the background something we call a smart tagging engine, which is using similar technologies to what Google uses and, you know, Apple uses, where in Google, you can actually upload photos and it will try and categorize them by looking at them and putting them in specific categories, which is great, you know, from a Google standpoint, if you're trying to find cats, right? But it's not so great if you're trying to find cracks. Sorry, that's my joke. Sorry.
Hashtag cats, not cracks, or cracks, not cats.
Yeah.
There you go. So, hashtag cracks, not cats. Okay.
Hashtag cats, not cracks. Yeah. So, I may have to use that from now on. Thanks. And then on the Apple Siri side, you know, people are starting to get used to using their voice to get the phone to do stuff and to hear what they're saying. But when you try and take that into industry, it's not so great at understanding you when you say, I'm in room 1519-A, or I'm in the mechanical penthouse looking at above ceiling inspection. So what we've done with the smart tagging capability is we've applied what's called AI, artificial intelligence. Although I do feel, I don't know if you have a spooky noise, James, but I feel like some people think that term is kind of spooky. So machine learning is the other term that sometimes you'll hear people use. It's just a way of a computer getting smarter about what it's trying to identify for you. That was good. I think I heard that.
A little late. But okay.
I did it twice. It's all right. Yeah. Go ahead.
So we're trying to bring that power that consumers are starting to get, you know, through Google and through Siri, trying to bring that same power to the world of industry, particularly within the AEC space. And that's, you know, that's our vision here, is to bring the power of machine learning to industry. So the talk, just back to your question here after that context, you know, the talk was all about how you can use this concept of tagging and smart tags in a video coming from the field or your photos and tie it back to Bluebeam in a more automated way than it's possible before. So you can create, you know, have a 2D floor plan that has rooms, spaces, you know, corridors, what, you know, even on top of column grid lines. You can basically access our system and then get dynamic content, photos and videos with the tags. So, for example, let's say, and this is a case study that we did with Suffolk Construction, actually, what they did is they used our system to go through the field and then streamline the process by which they were doing documentation at a bunch of different phases, you know, in-wall inspections, above ceiling, and even final closeout. And what they did is, instead of having to take, you know, for each room where they had to take like 20 pictures, now they could just take a video and narrate it, and our smart tagging engine would pick up things like the location, which elevation they were looking at, and any other observations that they had, and automatically categorize it for them so that later they can search and find it. The net of that is that they saved 2.3 months of person time within a 6 month time elapsed period, you know, which is key for the field team. And even as importantly, I would say, they had access to all that photo and video content later so that, you know, when questions or maybe even claims came up, they can find what they need to find to be in the best position to show that they did the right thing.
Makes sense. So that's easy for sure.
That's the ROI bell ringing. Hold on. I got you. I have to have you repeat this. Exactly how much time did it save in 5 months?
Yeah. So it was 6 months of elapsed time, and they saved 2.3 months of person time.
Jeez. Wow.
And when you explain it, you know, it just makes sense. You know, it's when you people have to go in, and today you got to think about what you get when you take pictures off of your phone. It's all these things that have these file names that are not readable, right? DCIM/_A19. So at a very basic level, not only do we make it faster to capture all that stuff in the field because you're using a video and talking instead of taking a lot of pictures, but then when you upload it, you don't have to rename files again. It's listening to your voice. It's tagging right into the video.
Yeah, no.
And lets you get right to it.
I don't think you really hit on that heavily in this, but what it does is it has both image recognition, video image recognition, and voice recognition, and it uses machine learning to automatically tag. So if you're recording a video walkthrough and you're talking, you're narrating the walkthrough, then as you talk, it pulls keywords out from your speech that it then puts into the tagging system.
That's exactly right. Now, and then when you search on that tag, like And it could be multiple tags. You could say, show me above ceiling for room 512 or in the mechanical penthouse.
Yeah.
So it will then take you right to the spot in that walkthrough video where above ceiling is shown and take you exactly there.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You don't have to.
You don't have to search through the video to find it. It takes you into the point in the video to find it.
That's exactly right, man. Yeah. So the two use cases that we talked about in the Bluebeam talk, one of them was ongoing. Think of it as critical milestone documentation. Which is really important as a part of an owner handover package, right? Like what's above the ceiling, what's behind the wall, you know, doing that, not with, let's say, an expensive services provider, but doing it with the cameras that are in everybody's pockets in the field, right? So that was one key takeaway. Hey, why pay somebody else to take all those pictures? You can do it yourself with video. And then the other really important source of content is, all the sets of training videos for equipment startup and ongoing operations, which you have to hand over to the owner at the end. And typically they just get, you know, thrown in a drawer on a CD-ROM. So I was co-speaking with the Construction PDF Coalition at Bluebeam. So Nathan Wood of Spectrum AEC, and then Alan Engel, who's now with JLL, actually, the company he was with, BRG, got acquired by JLL. And, you know, Alan was all about training videos, and you guys will definitely get a kick out of this. You know, he was used to uploading the same video to different folders because the only way you used to be able to link things was to folders. But now if you've got a tag, you can just tag the same video multiple times, and you don't have to recreate the same content in multiple folders. It makes think of it as training content and other content management challenge a lot more straightforward.
We need the angel sound coming out right now, James. No more.
I don't have angel sounds.
Oh my God,
I don't have the sound.
So much. No more folders, John. I don't know.
I mean, wait. Can I just do this one? All the pins falling. That's a strike, right?
That'll work. That is so. No more folders. You just search.
No folders. It's search. Oh, it's intelligent search.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
That's cool. That's what we're shooting for. It's that Bluebeam, one of the Bluebeam sayings, their CEO said was that data wants to be free. Release your data. So, you know, we're saying
release the Kraken
from folders.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Cool.
So what was the idea though behind this, Josh? What was the aha moment? What was the thing that struck you that helped you come up with this idea?
Yeah. So, like all this stuff, like any product worth building, it really comes from spending a lot of time talking with customers and end users. So, you know, there's a couple of stories that really stick out. Talking to one CIO, for example, he was telling me as I was asking him about all the new hardware. You know, a lot of it starts with new hardware, right? Tablet PCs, iPads, you know, things like drones and mobility now being everywhere. So I asked CIO, I said, what are you doing with this new hardware hitting the job site? And he said, oh, it's funny you mentioned it. We just got out of a $4 million claim because we had GoPro video footage of what's going on behind the walls. I said, oh, that's really interesting. That's powerful. How did you know you had the video footage? And he looked at me and he said, oh, that's easy. Vinny remembered. There was this pause. I said, who's Vinny? He said, oh, Vinny was the field superintendent on the job. I'm like, okay. How'd you know Vinny remembered?
SmartVinny.com.
Yeah, right. No, he's like, yeah, I emailed everybody on the job. And I said, all right, cool. Where was the content? He's like, oh, it was on Vinny's hard drive. So we looked at each other and I said, so you're telling me there's a $4 million video on Vinny's hard drive. And if he left the company or, you know, it's hard drive fried or whatever, you guys would be in big trouble with this claim. And he's like, yeah, you know, there's more and more of this stuff out there. We just don't know how to manage it. So that was one of the core stories that got us down the road, you know, to building SmartVid.io, which by the way, it's not just our name. It's also our website URL. The other piece was just looking at how important it is to have location tagged information, photo and video documentation, and how much money people are paying for that. We realized that if you can solve the content management problem, like, and not have to worry about Vinny's hard drive anymore, and also, and this is important, be able to create a higher value deliverable to the owner, you can, you know, manage risk, save time in the field, and take advantage of the cameras that are now in everybody's pockets to build a really good, valuable, location-based, automated handover deliverable. So that, those were the kind of the two key pieces of getting us on the road to build this.
Well, I think you have your AI name. IBM has Watson. You have Vinny.
That's an awesome idea. That's an awesome idea. Yeah, we'll definitely, we have to, Vinny does get smarter over time as it
gets
trained.
There you go. Keeps learning.
Yep.
Interesting talk. You know, I wish you were around about 10 years ago because you talk about litigation and defect claims. I was that crazy guy that sat in front of lawyers with a keyhole saw saying, well, if there's something wrong behind that window, there's only one way to find out. Nobody wanted me to cut into the wall because we didn't have good videos and photos to document, you know, 10 years ago, even, let's be honest, you know, 5 years ago. With all the new apps and hardware, there is a new concept that we've kind of heard about, and I think you spoke to it a little bit at the Bluebeam conference, the concept of app fatigue.
Yeah.
How much are you hearing from some of your users, some of your beta users, about having to use an app for this and an app for that and just wanting to simplify things? Is this a real trend that you're seeing, or is this kind of off spot a little bit?
No, I think it's a real trend. I mean, if you go back to what we were talking about earlier, Rob, you know, that we were in this period of just huge amount of technology introduction, right? And construction as an industry, just going back to my Vela system story, you know, just it's, you know, 10 years ago, seems like a long time, but I think in construction industry timeframes, that's not that long ago, there really wasn't that much out there. And now there's so much. So you got a ton going on in an industry where typically there hasn't been a lot going on. And I think there's sort of a pendulum that's swinging back. And we understand that, you know, we've built, so we're a little over a year old as a company, we've built a product, but we understand the need to play and as a part of an ecosystem, right? And help our customers take advantage of the solutions that they have already. So we're actually right now, we're in the process of doing some integrations with some large software providers out there so that you can be using the apps that you normally use and then get the power of the Smart VidIO platform on the background as well. And there'll be some really exciting stuff coming in the fall about that, which I'd love to come back on and talk about.
Oh, you know, we love to talk about integrations. You got to give us at least a couple of nuggets of who you may or may not be integrating with.
Yeah, well, let's just say it's, you know, some of the more visible names in construction management where there's a lot of photos and you know, visual documentation happening already.
Very interesting. Well, we'll definitely want to see more how that's working out and always get a little look before anybody else does.
You got it. Yeah, you
Rob's always bucking for the early release.
He wants the scoop.
He wants the scoop.
Gotta have that scoop, man. Gotta have the scoop.
I'm happy to give it to you. I know we were going to talk in October as well, and I'd love to you know, work with you guys and help break this news as it comes together. But we're super excited about it, and so are our customers.
Studio audience is excited about it too. By the way, they're really fired up. So.
Sounds busy there.
So, well, awesome. Rob, anything else?
No, I appreciate the information. It's a very interesting platform. We're definitely enjoying taking a look at it and your time for talking with us today.
Yeah, guys. Well, it's great to have you using it. You know, for folks in the audience, if you go to smartvid.io, you can actually sign up for a free trial. We're always adding to our website, adding new stuff. We'd love to have people try it out, load their own tags, and you know, go around, and instead of taking a bunch of pictures and having to rename them, you just take a video and use your voice.
Yeah.
And if you have pictures, just use, you know, see what gets recognized in them from the image recognition, help you find stuff like scaffolding and cranes and steel, and be able to organize your content.
Yeah, it's great. And guys, you know, we all have trial accounts. We've tested it out. It's a very, very unique, interesting video and audio and static image recognition system. It actually does work, and I'm certainly impressed. For the listeners, that's SmartVid, as in video, vid.io, and it's Josh Kanner is with us today. Josh, your Twitter handle is
jkanner1. So
awesome.
J-K-A-N-N-E-R, the number one.
All right, so anybody can ask you questions there on Twitter and follow you on Twitter. Smart Video's Twitter handle is?
It's SmartVidIO.
There you go, SmartVidIO. So anyway, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for being on the show, and we'll talk with you soon.
Look forward to staying in touch and appreciate all your feedback on the product as well, guys. It's good working with you to bring new technology to the industry.
And that's a wrap for this week's show. Thanks for joining us today for episode 30 of the Contact Trio podcast. Please join us next week for episode 31 featuring Tracking Changes Through Plans with Yves Fenault from FieldWire. To learn more about apps, workflows, and hardware, please follow us on social media. That's at JBKnowledge, JBKnowledge.com. Contact Trio is at Contact Trio. That's JBKnowledge.com/Contact Trio. James Benham is at James M. Benham or JamesBenham.com. Rob McKinney is at ConAppGuru. That's ConAppGuru.com. And Josh Bone is at Bim to the Bone. Josh Canner from SmartVidIO is at JCanner1 or SmartVidIO. Please take the Contact Trio poll at Twitter.com/Contact Trio. To listen to this show, go to the show website at JBKnowledge.com/Contact Trio. Stay tuned for more to come in 2016. This is the Contact Trio signing out.